sweet. It's always nice to see your smile too, you know? Everybody else glares at me. So thank you.
Oh, he doesn't hear you. He doesn't speak loud.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unconscionable that he said that. But, you know, he's got a...
Yeah, now that's true. But now, I mean, Danny Fritz gets all the credit. I mean, for bringing that back, I was here. I came straight from work. I didn't have time to go to the bathroom. And they put me to work doing the haunted house. And I had more fun than I've ever had in Orange College. And, you know, that's a nice thing to do. You know?
I'm surprised they didn't even work out with them.
Yeah. Well, I love
them. You're going to get another kitchen to see if you're coming or you're leaving.
I know you do.
Did you walk over?
Well,
so,
I
thought
really?
It was a little bit of a
sometimes we scoot out.
Get started here. Everybody please rise for the pledge.
Oh.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm sorry.
Mary, please call roll.
Alfred?
Here.
Perry?
Yes, here.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Here.
Braverman?
Here.
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Here. Can I please have a motion to approve the amended minutes of the March 11th regular meeting?
Motion made.
Thank you, Ms. Kluter. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. I think we had this cleared up from... does anybody have any other questions about this now? I think it's been fixed from what I saw, but does anyone else have thoughts? Mm-hmm. It had one of the items twice before.
Right, that's what we fixed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that little handwritten change, is that the only thing?
So, without any comments, Mary, if you'd please call roll.
Alfred?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. And can I have a motion, we'll change this to, motion to designate Dave Bloom as the mayor's councils and clerk of councils, designee for the purpose of sunshine law training.
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Perry.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Kluter.
Good for you, Mr. Bloom. Thank you.
What a guy. Or a mensch. If there's nothing to discuss on that.
What, do you have your flyer? Do you have your flyer?
I think he's on top of it.
Is that what? Yeah.
Mary, if you'd please call roll on that.
Alfred?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. Are there any audience comments relating to agenda items only? Come on up, Mr. Bonk.
Edward Bonk, 4369 Brainerd Road. There's a pile of documents that you guys are discussing tonight. A couple of considerations that you may want to do is in the forbid the developer from going for property tax revisions because it will change your economics in the future and it will really damage the schools. It's done in other communities for the TIF so that he doesn't ask for 5 years from now the property going down to $150 million. Since you very, very rarely do you get a second chance at a bite at the apple, council in its last preliminary development plan gave up all authority to planning and zoning. And the language was always similar and like. I think council would want to be more involved in the process so we don't get surprised with the new development plan where planning and zoning said there's apartments, which the original agreement had. The third thing is, throughout this document, there seems to be a major lack of symmetry. The village is always supposed to be reasonable when the developer makes a request, and the developer merely makes the request and has no sense of reasonableness. And if you're going to use reasonable, you should define the limits of what it is. But there's site case after case in where the developer gets to do things and the village rolls over and does it. This is why council needs to be back involved, as opposed to the letting all authority go to the mayor or planning and zoning. I was wondering whether the village has seen the agreements between the residential developer and commercial developer, since they're frequently mentioned in the documents. It'd be interesting to know what they're telling each other what they're doing. The bike paths are going to receive payments over 20 years. Unless the village is planning to issue bonds, I don't see how they can be constructed other than 5% per year over time. If there is going to be bonds issue or another funding mechanism, I think the community should know. One last point. If you add up all these numbers, what the developer's getting, as I said, in corporate welfare, there's going to be diversions of $74 million from Orange Schools, $25 million from Cuyahoga County Human Services, $5.1 million from the Metro Parks, $4 million from the libraries, $7 million from Tri-C, and $13 million from Orange Village from the property taxes that they would have paid if they didn't have a TIF, and assuming the development went ahead, which is, or they would have got something. The developer is going to get $130 million worth of benefits over 30 years. On Orange, we're going to get $500,000 a year in taxes. We're going to get apartments. We're going to get a lot more traffic. We're going to get a signing bonus of $500,000, which is usually about the pay for a fourth round draft pick. And we're going to get bike paths that are going to be paid for over 20 years. If you add up the numbers, the village is going to get about $20 million, and the developer's getting $130 million worth of benefits. Why would anybody do this? The benefits that we all talk about that I didn't count, which would come anyhow, is from the residential side. It's going to be developed by somebody. So why would you go off and take more crime, more traffic, and get a bad deal? $20 million worth of $130 million. Thank you for your time.
Are there any other audience comments? If not, moving on to old business, pending legislation and motions. We're actually going to go ahead and hold off on the motion to appoint two members of the Income Tax Board Review one more week. So let's move on to Ordinance 2015-6, the Ordinance amending Section 121.04 of the Codified Ordinances of Orange Village regarding the compensation of the mayor. This is on for second reading. We discussed this in the rationale as to why we're doing it last week. Is there any further discussion on this today?
There will be a public hearing at the July council meeting, the advertisement for which will go in tomorrow in the Chagrin Valley Times for both this one and the subsequent ordinance, the next one, 7.
July?
So July.
At the first meeting?
No, I think it's
the second. Okay. July 8th.
The charter requires the 60-day notice.
Any other comments regarding that? Moving on to Ordinance 2015-7, an ordinance amending Section 111.03 of the Codified Ordinances of Orange Village regarding the compensation of members of council and the council president. This is also on for second reading. I assume the same thing regarding the public hearing in July. Any other comments on that? No, moving on. Ordinance 2015-8, an ordinance amending Chapter 931, the Codified Ordinances, to amend Section 931.09E1 and to enact Section 931.19, establishing rules for the Orange Village Dog Park. This is on for second reading. I spoke with, was it Nolan Wiley? And he's our Eagle Scout, or Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. He's our scout who's handling this.
He did
didn't convince you, I guess.
No. Anyways, I don't think there's anything different. He understood my points about his issue was he wants to have one big dog park instead of two little section for small dogs. I just disagreed. So, I think that's kind of the plan is for two little sections. So, any other questions on the dog park?
Do we just in general other dog parks in the area? Do they tend to segregate big dogs and small dogs?
Some do.
So it's kind of a split.
Yeah. We have a lot of elderly residents with little teeny dogs. Talking about you.
I don't see. I didn't see the chief here. Does he intend to have somebody at the dog pound? Or anything? It's going to be all on the honor system.
They can drive by. They can walk by.
Do you want a police officer?
No, I don't. I don't know. I have no idea what will take place at the dog pound in particular. I have a general idea. I have a general idea what will take place. I don't know what it will take place
dogs
in particular, and I didn't know how closely we needed to watch to watch the dog pound. I didn't know how much of a
they just run around and play.
I wouldn't call it a nuisance exactly, but I mean, we are bringing all these dogs together in one place. I don't know what's going to happen there, that's all. Just wondered whether it was going to have to be watched more closely than, say, the playground, as an example.
Well,
yeah.
I think a nuisance is a horrible characterization of what this is. You know, and I don't want to go ahead and portray it as a nuisance in any sense or fashion whatsoever. This is a playground for dogs across from the playground for the little residents of our community. So
I see this as very similar to the garden, the community garden. We enforce it, the rules as much as we can, and those who don't pay attention to the rules,
they lose the privilege.
Get a little phone call or talking to, and
the people who go to the garden are possessed of their garden and take care of the garden, whether it's their plot or the whole thing. And the same thing usually goes with dog parks, except for Mr. Zugin's going to help with the.
Can I ask Bob, how do you? Can I ask Bob something,
sure.
Mr. Council? Bob Zugin, are you okay with this? I mean, I know that you had some reservations. Am I putting you in the hot seat? I don't mean to. But I do envisage some difficulties, perhaps, maybe. Yeah.
I've got mixed emotions. I'm talking to myself.
Uh-huh.
I understand why they go in. There was a question about who would be using it. I think the target market is people that are living in residence in Stone Brook, Billsville, and stuff like that, that they don't have yards to.
We just have to play it out.
I don't think we go crazy with it. We build what we intend on, which is smaller. If it takes off, then we can look at advancing it even harder. If not, then
we'll close it down. Thank you very much.
The beauty is it's essentially a fence, so it can always come down.
Yeah, it is.
Is the intention that the dogs will be wearing their leashes when they're not actually in the confined area? Is that
part
of
it? Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
They have to have leashes when they're not in the confined area. Yeah, they have to have leashes when they're not in the confined area.
But people don't observe the rules. A lot of people walk the park where it says your dog should be leashed or must be leashed, and they let the dogs run around anyway. So there's a whole other issue because I'm there frequently.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll crack down on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
All right. Anything else on dogs?
Dogs are cool.
Do this.
All right.
Now I'm a dog.
If nothing else on dogs,
President Huber, will we have a public hearing on this ordinance as well?
This is a public hearing.
On the dogs?
Yeah. Is there a...
This is public.
Okay. Just asking.
There'll be another public hearing next week.
We'll bring the dog. We'll bring the dog.
You never know what they have to contribute.
I do.
Just bring your plastic bag. Mine has garbage bags. Well, Planning Commission, we had an extensive discussion about something. I thought it would be a good
What happened?
To do that. Proponents for it didn't necessarily want to.
Let's move on to ordinance 2015-10, as amended. An ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into development agreement and related easement with Pine Orange LLC and Walnut Hills LLC for development of real property in the village and related services and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading.
Do you?
The red line.
Should we bring them up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The best way to do this maybe is if you want to go through and discuss what's different this week than last week, and then we could go through questions on that and then anything else. Yeah, Mary, if you don't mind. Paul, you want to come up here? I don't insist. I phrase it as question.
I'm so confused. I'm not sure which is my working copy.
What are we talking about? 10? 11?
No,
10. 10.
On anything. I'm not sure what the working copy is.
This one. Mine.
Well, that's 2005-11. That's fine. But I've got another one and another one.
No, we want 2010.
Yeah, I've got that too.
Yeah, effectively an attachment to 10.
What we're looking at is the revisions that I sent out dated April 27th. That are marked to show the changes that I made based upon comments that were received by council or made by council last week.
There's nothing in the ordinance, correct?
I did not make any changes in the ordinance.
Right.
The first, I mean, you want to just walk through the changes?
Sure.
They're not that many, but so. On the first page in the second whereas clause, we were more specific on what improvements we were talking about with regard to the easements on the village property, and included landscaping, curbing, traffic control devices, signage, and then the catch-all is other improvements that are acceptable to the village. So we wanted to leave some flexibility, but we think we've captured what was going to be needed. On the second page in the whereas clause 1A1, we added some language that
Jeff's not sure he has the markup. Mary, is she still? Could I get a copy of what you passed out before, the red line marked up one? Is that over here?
Here.
No, she's good. No.
There you go.
This is all my
thanks.
Stuff. He needs a red one of those.
I think we just
I
we
just
got
did.
We just got one.
You got it.
Okay.
Got it.
What are you copying? 10? 10, she's copying 10?
She's not copying anything.
Oh. Okay.
No, she's just giving Judd a copy.
All right.
So on bottom of page 2 in paragraph 1, we added language where the developer recognizes that where it's economically feasible, they're going to take advantage of low-impact stormwater management policies, such as pervious surfaces, bio-retention ponds, use of vegetation, other similar best practices. Just to more clearly define what we meant by socially significant, sustainable project. You will note in various places throughout the agreement, I took out the word reasonably, where it applied to village approvals, consents, and things like that. And based upon Councilman Braverman's suggestion, we took out the reasonablys and added a provision at the end on page 27 that defines what good faith and reasonable, how the parties will act together in implementing this agreement. We can talk about that now, or we can go through it when we get there. So.
Oh yeah.
In paragraph section 2A2, we added the obligation of the developer to provide us notice when, after qualifying tenants vacate the commercial portion of the property. On 3A1A, with page 7, the traffic improvements, we made it clear that the traffic signal devices would have to comply with the Chagrin Boulevard signalization management and control system. Changed a couple of at the developer's expense to at no cost to the village. In the section on the Safety Force mini station, clarified the type of lighting and other improvements that are going to be included as part of the Safety Force mini station.
Sorry, I'm going back a little bit. Does
sure.
anybody else have to? Do any other municipalities have to agree to this signalization management?
My understanding is that everybody is going to comply when they do signal devices.
Are you talking about the Chagrin one or the ones we're putting in as a reality?
Chagrin.
That's already been approved. I mean,
No. Ours, it says that the developer is going to comply with and connect with the Chagrin Boulevard ones.
Oh.
So I'm just wondering if...
Yeah, I don't know if they can connect. That's going to be up to Beachwood.
Maybe we have to do, we'll comply if...
Well, the intent of that particular clause was to recognize the fact that the equipment that they should install should be compatible with that system so that it can be connected to it.
Yeah.
Right, Chagrin is building their signalization so
yeah.
Beachwood can control
right.
it for them, just
well,
like Beachwood controls our several of our lights, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So it will be compatible.
That's what we're requiring that they be.
It has to be compatible on the
right.
same thing,
to
but
Beachwood.
They don't necessarily.
Which means we'll beat.
If they don't let them jump in on it, then there's developers can't really do anything about it. But they have to be on the same system, right?
Right.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
They need to be. The equipment needs to be compatible with and able to connect.
And if they let them connect, then they have to connect. Okay. We'll
clarify that.
So we'll clarify that.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. So we talked about the Safety Force mini station. On the easement section, section 2A, we added some clarifying language that makes clear that we prefer to have the northerly drive adjacent or aligned with the drive at Bahama Breeze and
mm-hmm.
And the hotels across on the western side of Orange Place. And the developer has been engaged in discussions with University Hospitals and continues those discussions with University Hospitals in an effort to obtain an easement to be able to meet that alignment.
Just a question regarding the Bahama Breeze. Should we have, I mean, they could go under tomorrow and it could be anything. Should we have it more of a plot number? As
well, I think for this purpose, it's clear enough what we're talking
okay.
about.
Is there any reportable progress on the discussions with Waterford?
Yes. And there was another meeting held this morning. And well, I don't want to speak for Jordan. What he told me was that they made good progress. He thinks he has an agreement and hopes to be able to get some language to us that's acceptable to at least the representatives of the Waterford Fort residents. They still need to have it presented to the neighborhood as a whole, but I think they're pretty close.
So they have a week. They know this, right?
Less
okay.
than a week because we want to see it before.
They have less than
sure.
a week. They know that, right?
Yeah, we need to see
okay.
it, right.
And if it's not done at that point. It's
by Monday at noon.
It's whatever we choose. Everybody's on board.
What's Monday at noon?
I had a conversation with Rick Sunken over the weekend.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes.
I actually spoke.
And I'm not trying to be dictatorship up here, but, you know, we're on a schedule.
Monday at noon.
Right, which is what Jordan said.
All right. No, thank you.
Section at article number six, or section number six on page 17, we put in a specific time frame for a petition for the construction of the all-purpose trail after request by the village, 30 days after request by the village.
Okay, good.
In paragraph on page 19, on the amendment section, paragraph B, we added clarifying language that notice of any amendment that didn't require the approval of one or the other developers would still be provided to that developer. On the page 22, under successors and interest, paragraph C, Romanet 2, we added Pine 9 LLC. In the related party transfer provision as it relates to the ownership of a majority of the interests of the commercial, of the entity that would be a related party transferor, since Fairmont Properties and Pine 9 LLC are the current members of Pine Orange.
Is it, I mean, just help me out here. Can they both own a majority ownership and in, interest in I was reading that paragraph and I kept being confused by
that's it. Why I used the word and, both of them together.
So you're saying the two of them together own a majority interest, but not necessarily separately?
Correct.
Obviously not separately, but, you know. Okay, I just, yeah. Okay. Well, all right.
Okay.
I don't know. Vague.
And then, it,
how are they doing that? I mean, just I'm sorry. I just I mean, they, when you they're going to actually co-own their memberships,
well,
in the LLCs.
It's an
I mean,
LLC that'll be
they're going to co-own it.
What? No. Well,
they're each going to have a certain number of LLC memberships, and together they make up a majority of it. Is there anybody else involved in it?
No. At the moment, this is now if there becomes a transfer to somebody else. At the moment, I believe those are the entities that are involved. I don't know whether there are other entities involved, but that this relates to now what happens if there's a subsequent transfer of the property. So that's what that's
okay.
Intended to cover. And then at the end, I added the provision that defines, essentially makes clear that the parties are going to exercise, act in good faith. Be reasonable when dealing with each other during the course of the agreement.
All right.
That's the exhibits. We are finishing up on the legal description of the property. There are a couple of things we were working on. That the legal descriptions for the blocks of the village property. The
still says back.
That does still say Bach.
Let me just ask a question.
Oh, on the exhibit pages themselves. Yeah.
A question about the declaration. One of you told me, I think, the declaration can't be done until a later point in time.
Well, once the Waterford Court residents and the developer reach agreement on what the restrictions are going to be, we can drop it into that declaration.
So we'll see both the Waterford language and the declaration on Monday. Well, I mean, I
yeah.
Guess, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
They won't go for it on Wednesday if they don't see it by Monday.
Okay. Somewhat out of my control.
Well, maybe whoever's control is in just heard that.
I think they might have. So, but that language, the declaration language will essentially be the same language as it's in the development.
We'll see.
Let me just go back. I've now made another note to fix Bach. In one of these drafts, I will actually do that. We are waiting to get back the legal descriptions with just a couple of typos. I sent that to Brian Mader.
Well, won't those actually be replaced by the actual legal descriptions? That, you know, that language just goes away anyhow.
So well, I might just put C attached and then attach it at the back, okay. Or attached. We talked about the declaration, the traffic improvements. We're working on finishing up the language on the traffic improvements. We had a couple of recommendations from our engineer that we need to incorporate, and that exhibit is.
And the form of easement agreement will be available too, obviously?
Yes, and it may be actually, we're talking about whether we actually do two separate easements, one for stormwater, stormwater easement, and one for the driveway ingress and egress.
On the same territory, on the same land?
Different
parcels?
Different parcels,
so okay.
So
you want to do two.
For simplicity's sake, we're going to separate those two. Those two into, so
okay.
We'll have your exhibit, maybe exhibit E1 and E2 for two forms of easements that'll be similar, but cover different.
Does one of those easements cover future utility connections to the residential property?
No, because that's not with the village, between the village and the developers, that's going to be between the developers themselves.
Between the two developers?
Yes.
Okay.
Any questions on any of these changes?
Good job.
Thank you for that. Are there any other new questions on any issues that are beyond what we discussed last week?
Wait, say that again.
Is there any other discussion on this?
On this document?
Yes.
Okay.
Aside from what was discussed last week, I think that's been discussed. I think we have a lot of changes here, a couple little things to do, and.
I will. There will be if we do go with two separate easements. Well, there'll be a change to the ordinance to reflect easements instead of easement, but essentially it's.
It'll still be as amended.
Sorry?
It'll still be as amended. We don't have to start over.
Yes.
Okay. Is that appropriate? I mean, I'm just asking technically. Do we need two ordinances, one for each easement, or can we put them together like that?
Easement's part of the declaration.
It's an exhibit to the.
This is what you're going to amend. You're saying, right? The
I'm
ordinance.
Just going to reflect the fact that it's
just that it's plural. That's all you're going to do?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll get all the exhibits in the package next Monday.
But is that
yes.
appropriate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That is my hope. My fervent hope.
With
it's
that
up to Mr. Fervent.
Said, is there any other comments or discussion on the Pinecrest Development Agreement as it is currently written?
I just want to make a couple of short comments. Are in the public comments that were made earlier by Mr. Bonk, I do want to note that. The work that we have done prior to his comments were germane to his concerns. He talked about the reasonableness issue, and that has been changed. He talked about the funding for the bike paths, and he did indeed recognize the fact that the likely actual path for financing of the multipurpose trails will be through some fashion of a bond issue to pay for them up front, obviously, and then the commitment being made by Pinecrest here to fund that repayment of the bonds is, the normal nature of how you fund any kind of capital improvement. And that's no secret by any means. I think the other couple comments I made were non-germane, particularly at this point, but at least I did want to make it clear we did listen to address some of those other issues.
Thank you for addressing that. All right, last chance. Any other discussion today? Okay, we're moving on. Thank
Great
you.
Great seat, sir.
Thanks, victim. moving on to ordinance 2015-11, as amended, an ordinance declaring the improvement of certain real property located in Orange Village to be a public purpose in connection with the establishment of tax increment financing program under Ohio Revised Code Section 5709.04, declaring such property to be exempt from real property taxation, designating public infrastructure improvements to be made that will directly benefit such property, requiring the owners thereof to make service payments in lieu of taxes, authorizing tax increment service payment agreement with the developer, authorizing compensation agreement with the Orange City School District, establishing municipal public improvement tax increment equivalent fund for deposit of such service payments, and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading.
May I just point out to you that on the agenda it says 5709.04, but that should be 5709.40, and the title of the ordinance is correct. The title on the agenda is incorrect.
Okay, thank you.
5940, okay.
Mary, you make a note of that for next week.
Good catch.
So, why don't we go ahead with the same thing? What is different today than yesterday?
Thank you, Council President Duber. What I thought I would do is first go through the ordinance and what has changed since last week.
Okay.
And I'm working off of the red line that was sent out. Before I do that, I don't know if everyone is aware, but perhaps it's been reported that on Monday evening, the Board of Education approved the school compensation agreement, and so no further action is required by the Board of Education with respect to this TIF.
Good on them for doing that.
Did they? That paragraph on page 7, that was out before they voted on it?
They didn't have an issue with that.
Oh, they didn't have anything to do with that?
That should have been plugged in.
Price, before you start, at my seat I have something I probably should have gotten sooner. It says replace certain pages of the TIF.
Yeah, but then you got a whole new set.
Okay, so I can discard this. Thank you. Right. I printed that set, so good.
That red line copy you sent yesterday or whatever is the
yes.
The current.
That's the current.
Okay.
That's the current version that says 428.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the compensation agreement doesn't have a date on it.
I believe it does.
Okay.
Or the compensation, no, but nothing has changed in that document. I thought you were referring to the tax increment service payment agreement. That has a date on it, and it has been modified since last week.
Where's that one?
These are exhibits.
Oh, okay.
Does anyone need a copy of the revised ordinance?
You have a red line version there?
Revised ordinance.
Do you have a copy?
I don't have a red line. I've got another red line version, but not.
Copy of what, the 428?
Price, if you
exhibit?
Have an extra copy, I could
think
use
I have
one.
The 428
the
exhibit. Huh?
Price sent out.
You want the one that's dated 428.
I don't have it.
I think it was yesterday. I didn't print that version.
It looks like the red line did not get printed out for everyone.
I didn't get it.
Well, we can share a copy down here, so we're good.
I have a copy. I have one here.
I'll share it with you.
Not that good.
I don't have a red line.
Does everybody either have a copy or sharing a copy?
I don't have a red line version.
You can
okay.
But I can share one.
You can share with her.
I don't have one either.
I can follow along.
Yeah, I'm following him.
Okay,
well, I'll try to be specific, so if you aren't looking at a red line, it hopefully still will be understandable. The first change to the TIF ordinance from last week is in Section 4.
Before we get there, don't we have to add a date under the last whereas?
We do now, yeah, on page 2.
Yes.
I haven't received a certified copy of it yet, so I haven't filled that in yet.
is it, this is it then?
Well, that's the final version.
Yeah, that's, that refers to the date that it was certified to us.
Yeah.
So that'll be filled in for next week. Spoke to, traded emails with the school district's lawyer and the treasurer was out of the office yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That's clean.
And,
yeah,
so
that's good, yeah.
I'm anticipating getting a certified copy in the next day or so.
Yeah, he was at work today.
Okay.
All right, you guys are ready?
In the second paragraph in section 4, we've added a sentence just for clarity that says that the service payment agreement shall provide that the service payments and other covenants contained therein shall run with the land for the benefit of and be enforceable by the village, its successors and assigns against developer, and its successors and assigns, and it defines those as collectively as the owner. That's the only change to that section 4. But it's relevant when we get to section 9. The first thing about section 9 that's been modified since last week is that I revised the language slightly to be clear with respect to the provisions of revised code section 5709.832, which provide that the recipient of the exemption have policies to ensure non-discriminatory hiring practices. The prior language stated that no employer located within the site would do that, and that's not exactly consistent with the revised code language, which refers to the recipient, who is in this case the owner of the property, the developer. And based upon some feedback from members of council, we added some additional language with respect to protected persons who would be covered by the non-discriminatory hiring.
Mm-hmm.
And then further provided that the provisions of this of the section in the service payment agreement that we'll get to in a minute that address this in more detail are to be covenants running with the land, so that any future owner of the property would purchase subject to
that
provision. Any questions on that part? The last thing that's been modified in the draft ordinance is in section 10, and that's actually just the fixing of a typographical error I had in the prior draft to the revised code section reference.
Anybody have questions on this document? That's all for this document.
That's all for that document.
Nope.
Good to go.
So the next document is the tax increment service payment agreement. And
let
again,
me just
I'm,
before
I'm
ref- before you, the exhibits are going to be available on Monday.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll provide a cohesive ordinance with all of the exhibits contained attached, so that it's easy to follow.
Okay. Fair enough.
So. The next document is the tax increment service payment agreement, and I'm referring to the red line. But again, for those of you who don't have a copy of the red line in front of you, I'll try to be specific about that. The first change from last week's draft is in section 4. Which is titled Tax Increment Financing. And in the prior draft, there was a sentence providing that the owner had the right to contest the value of the property. That was stated in the affirmative, and that was included at the request of Developers Council. Based upon feedback from council last week, I had further discussions with council for the developer, and we have removed that section from the agreement. It's fair to say that this issue will continue to be one that, we'll consider. And there, as I've indicated previously, there will be a subsequent agreement that I've been referring to as a cooperative agreement that will be entered into in connection with the financing, and the village will be a party to that. And I intend that we will continue to address that issue as we go into that document.
This is the only current agreement in which that paragraph appeared.
Correct.
Okay.
But would it make sense to put that, I guess, flip the language on it to say that they specifically cannot ask for
that? The language of that is going to have to be negotiated. There are challenges for the developer if they agree to it as a complete 180 flip. So there'll have to be some discussion of what's an appropriate provision to address the concern that's been raised.
But it just seems that if we get rid of the language that says that they can and don't put in language that says that they can't, there's, you know, a lot of
right. So what we're reverting to is what they have the same rights as any property owner. And of course, the village and the school district also would have the rights to contest the value. Now,
is that the appropriate thing for us to be doing to have it
at this stage? I think it is, because we'll come back to it in the cooperative agreement, and we'll address it when we know more about the financing terms. So it can be, there can be a more thoughtful provision addressing that issue relating to the actual financing.
But won't that be after this is already passed, and we'll kind of lose a little bit of our stronghold?
No, because you'll have to pass a subsequent piece of legislation to approve a cooperative agreement.
So
council's not giving anything away at this point in time.
Yeah, you're saying that this document will be silent on that point.
Correct.
And then in the next agreement we'll have to dicker it out, whatever that means.
Correct.
Okay.
Because the terms of the bond financing aren't even, I think, beginning yet, to have something specific to minimum valuation or other provisions would be premature, but we're definitely mindful of council's concerns in this regard, and so we'll make sure as we go forward and enter into and bring back to council the approval of the cooperative agreement, that we've addressed that issue, and council will have further input into that concern when we come back.
I guess we can't, I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but if we put something saying that they can't do it, then that might make it impossible for us to actually raise the value at some point, if that's what's appropriate, right?
Well, and you know, it has other consequences with respect to the bond financing that we don't want to consider this issue in a vacuum. We want to consider this in the context of the overall financing.
Okay.
So the most important thing I think to be aware of is that we haven't given up anything in this. In fact, if anything, the developers given up the express right. They still have statutory rights. But it will come back. There'll be further consideration of this issue.
Okay.
Let's not forget.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments regarding that issue? Because I know it's kind of important.
Do we have any sense of timing as to when that bond document is going to be produced? Where are you at in that process, Chris?
That process with the both the potential purchasers of the bonds and the Port Authority has not begun. There have been preliminary discussions, but those detailed discussions are contingent upon the approval of these agreements going through with the village in the next week. So that will start in earnest, and we have provided to council a proposed schedule for that financing already that, if he has not shared with you, I'm happy to resend.
I wanted to make sure I shared the right schedule.
Okay, you want to keep going?
Sure. The next change is the addition of a new Section 6, which is a specific addressing of non-discriminatory hiring practices. This largely mirrors the language from the TIF ordinance. Mm-hmm. There is one thing that that I think is important to point out, and that is that the developer and any subsequent owners, this is the last sentence of that section, that they agree to use commercially reasonable efforts to require that any lessees, that is employers, located within the site comply with these provisions. So in the prior version of the TIF ordinance, we referred to employers. The statute doesn't really address that. It addresses the owners, the recipient of the tax exemption. But now we've also have a contractual agreement from the owners that they will use their commercially reasonable efforts to include or to require that employers within the site will also follow these policies.
Do we need, I mean, do we need to mention the law? I mean, not only more specifically in the sense that obviously we want them to follow the wishes of the village and our own ordinances and so forth, but there is state law and federal law, and I mean, I'm just wondering
the requirement that we reference in the TIF ordinance,
yeah,
is a requirement that's applicable to the village and not directly applicable to the recipient of the exemption. So in putting that language in the ordinance, the village is complying with Ohio law.
Okay.
Now with respect to the contract with the developer and the owners,
yeah,
we've got this specific contractual provision. So we are complying with the law through the ordinance, and now we're having the developer specifically agree to that.
Okay, so in effect, the village is simply saying in paragraph 6, you must comply with the applicable laws in all of these with reference to all of these groups. The existing law, I mean,
The owners and the owners are agreeing to not deny employment based on considerations of race, religion, sex, disability, color, national origin, ancestry, sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, or veteran status. That's what they're agreeing to do, to not deny any employment.
Okay. And I'm all I'm really asking is, what is the standard that would be applied to them if someone were questioning what they were doing in these areas? Is it the existing law of the land at the time, or is it something the village has to cook up? Not cook up, but
they're saying that they will not deny employment based upon these considerations. There's no other standard that's necessary.
Okay.
In order to.
All right. Okay. I'm just trying to. I didn't know whether more language was needed there or not. You're saying not. It's okay.
Insofar as you've defined all these groups, is age one of those that ought to be included in that laundry list?
Yeah, that would be good. We can all go to it.
Let me ask it this way. I mean, maybe this: if the law were to change, would this paragraph change in any way? If the law of Ohio or the federal law?
And this can't be less restrictive.
Were to change, would that change the meaning of this paragraph in any way? I guess that's what I'm asking. Maybe.
In what sense?
Just a minute.
Yeah.
We just got two things here coming up.
Sorry. Sorry.
So there's been a request to consider age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me take a look at that, and propose appropriate language to address that concern.
I wonder why it was omitted. Right.
It's not in the revised code.
No, that's right.
Yeah, it's not a protected class. Right.
The general assembly doesn't care about you.
we know that. But
no, but it's a good point. We'll take a look at that. Okay. There are protections for that group, so.
Francis is looking for a job.
You'll be surprised to find him working here.
So if Ohio law were to become more expansive, and that were to be applicable to an employer located within the development, the employer would have to also comply with those requirements.
Okay, so the standard is really the law of the land.
But if Ohio law were silent on one of these issues, and yet this agreement speaks specifically to that issue, this would further require them to comply.
Okay.
This can be more restrictive, not less.
Yes. You said that so succinctly.
Like a lawyer.
I believe that's it for the edits.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think so.
Just section references. Yeah,
there's more trees. Maybe if they cut down the trees to make the paper, the bats could go.
Any other questions on the changes? That hasn't.
The school compensation agreement hasn't changed since the last week. And that was what was authorized by the Board of Education on Monday. So
we're not changing anything.
I think we like that agreement now.
We're not changing anything.
I don't think we want it. Would we touch it?
Any other questions
on this piece
for Mr. Finley here?
No new ones.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You are relieved.
Really,
your duties.
I am so relieved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are we letting him leave? Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Price.
If he wants to. Go to Columbus. See ya.
Drive safely. Working on
95. All right. Any other discussion on that for now? Well, Price is leaving, so there's not going to be any. Moving on to, can I have a motion to adjourn to executive session for the purpose of discussing pending or prospective litigation and the disposition of village real estate?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Berry. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ken. And
I'll call roll on that.
Yes. Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Alfred?
Yes.
Mr. Braverman?
Yes, but
Mr. Barron?
Yes.
What am I doing?
Ms. Berry?
Yes.
Brandon? Yes.
I just wanted to just put on record the fact that this is the first time in the history of the village when more people have attended our meeting than have attended the Baltimore Orioles baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first time that ever happened.
All right. Let's go to the executive session. We'll go out. See you guys.
They were poking through the railing, so.
Yeah, I know. Well, There was a home run that was hit out and nobody caught it. You know, it's like it goes back to if a home run is hit and nobody's there to catch it, is it really hit?